Here comes that rainy day feeling again. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Mm-hmm. I'll do my crying in the rain. In our culture, rain is a sign of gloom. And this association affects how we hear the writings of people who lived in the desert. When, for instance, we hear Jesus say that God sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous, we might nod and say, yep, God brings suffering to everyone, regardless of how deserving we are. The people to whom Jesus was talking, of course, heard something else. Rain for them would have been a cause for joy, a blessing. Jesus was making the surprising assertion that God is relentless in blessing everyone, regardless of merit. Likewise, the image of rain of water seeping out from the temple in this passage from Ezekiel is not a warning of a disaster, but a vision of flourishing life. For most of us, this might have become clearer as the passage unfolded into images of trees bearing fruit every month. But those who first heard this thousands of years ago, the image of life is there right from the beginning of the passage, as water trickles out from the sides of the temple. It's as if the temple struck oil, except it's something far better, far more life-giving. Recently, while practicing drum rudiments on my practice pad in the afternoon, I've been watching a lot of videos on permaculture. Permaculture is a term coined in the late 1970s that describes an approach to farming and land management that mimics patterns found in natural ecosystems. Whereas industrial agriculture relies on non-renewable resources that poison the land and water, reduce biodiversity, and end up depleting and removing the topsoil, permaculture attempts a different approach, one that attempts to work with instead of against nature. Many permaculture practices date back thousands of years, so in a sense, it's a recovery of older techniques. One of the things I've learned while watching these videos is how people grow gardens and farms in desert climates. Deserts receive very little rain, maybe 10 to 15 inches per year. The rain typically comes in bursts, but because the dirt has caked under the heat, the water rushes over the ground, further eroding the surface and washing everything away. What permaculture practitioners do is capture the rain, slow it down, and spread it out. Some of them dig swales, small trenches that run on contour, so that as the water rushes down a hill, it stops, pools, spreads, and sinks into the ground. The moisture then creates a habitat for microbes, which help plants and trees grow. The swales are seeded with ground cover to hold the soil in place, and trees are planted, which put more nutrients into the ground and provide shade, which slows the evaporation of the water that pools there. The leaves of the trees absorb water from the atmosphere, and when they fall, they enrich the ground beneath. Insects, and then birds, and then animals all become part of this system. It's a slow process. But the work of capturing the water and getting it into the ground creates a cascading effect that can transform the landscape from something barren into something very much like what this passage from Ezekiel foresees. Here are some pictures of people who have taken barren land and transformed it. I'll start circulating them. This is from Jordan. Okay, this is very close to the world that we're hearing about in Ezekiel. You can see on the left what was before and what came after. Here is from the lowest plateau in China, which was a very arid region. And again, you can see the before and after. You can just sort of circulate these. It takes years of work, but it's just remarkable to see how it can happen. So I've been thinking about how relevant this idea of capturing, slowing, and spreading the water is to my life as a drummer and writer. I get more out of a steady supply of work than I do out of epic bursts. Showing up every day for even a minimal amount of practice or writing allows ideas to seep into my body and mind. If I've done even a little bit of writing on a particular day, I'm more likely to be thinking about it as I wait in line at the store. If I've touched my sticks, my hands carry the feeling with them as I go through my day. I can feel the roots of my creativity continue to deepen and find nourishment. watching these permaculture videos has helped me realize how my creative life is an ecosystem of its own, and that even when inspiration or time runs low, I can still capture and spread it out. I can still bear fruit. I'll note that I could stop here to say that this same principle shows up in how I've decided to show up for the causes important to me, for instance, St. Lydia's. I could draw parallels between how I give my time and money in a steady trickle, a regular amount of money each month, and a fairly predictable pattern of filling roles for Debbie, and how what I give adds up to something closer to a trickling stream than a rushing river, and how that's okay. I could talk about how delivering what I can on a regular basis helps St. Lydia's leadership plan better, and it keeps me from depleting myself, how it allows me the miracle of seeing how the steady trickle combines with everybody else's contributions to help the church bear fruit. But I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'll share that for me, and maybe for some of you, the hardest application of this principle is learning how to capture and absorb love, affirmation, and encouragement. It showers down on me, and too often, I turn it away. For a long stretch of years, in an earlier part of my life, every workday ended with a standing ovation. Literally. My band toured around the world and played for wonderful audiences in clubs, theaters, and arenas. But though I had a lot of fun, I felt emotionally parched. When friends came backstage after a show to give me a hug and offer a kind word, I held up a yardstick. You guys were great. Not good enough. I really liked it. Get the hell out of here. I finally get to see you play. Oh my God, never talk to me again. To hear anything less than, Jake, my mind is so blown that I'm rethinking my entire life, left me deflated and ashamed. I was showered with affection, and yet I let it wash all away. This pattern has shown up in almost every corner of my life. I turn away all kinds of offerings, thank yous, compliments, encouragement, offers of help, because I don't want people to see the person I am now. I want them to turn away until I become the perfect person I wish I could be. Every time I do this, I miss a bit of the rain I need. Or, and here's an important reframing, I'm losing an opportunity for growth. Perhaps this is a Midwesterner's way of hacking the problem, turning accepting oneself into a responsibility. But hey, if it works, it works. 2 weeks ago, Christian asked me if I wanted to have a listening party at St. Lydia's to celebrate the release of my band's new album. An old part of me really wanted to say no, because I couldn't bear the idea of my dear friends coming to hear this new record and the fact that I'd have to watch them, knowing that what they were hearing was not the best music they've ever heard. The permaculture student in me, however, realized that was not the point. Christian was offering a precious resource, love, appreciation, celebration, and I needed to get past my old habits to capture and absorb all of it. I need that to grow, to become stronger, more able to give to those around me. Some of you may be squirming in the back of your mind right now, thinking, yeah, this sounds a little too be good to yourself for me, a little too scented candle. What about the work of repairing the world? To you, I say, hello, fellow Midwesterner of the Have you ever been able to do the work of repairing the world because you're burned out? Those of us who saw our community threatened with collapse a few years ago are continually amazed to see that here we are, thriving with a new back deck. But the work of holding on and turning things around left a number of people here emotionally depleted. Those working for justice in our neighborhood against unimaginable odds continue to push, using every small bit of resources they can to build a different vision of life here, and they too face burnout. I can only imagine how emotionally depleted the people who have spent years working for justice and peace in Israel and Palestine are feeling right now. But they will not stop. The same is true for people working on any number of causes, or caring for loved ones, or being there for their friends. Sometimes the world looks like one big desert, but deserts can be transformed if we learn to capture the water and get it into the ground. In this reading, The water is trickling, not gushing, out of the temple. So I'll say to myself and anyone else here who needs to hear it, stop hardening yourself against that trickle. Absorb it so you can grow and use your leaves to capture more water and provide some badly needed shade so there's more water to go around for everyone. Then we can turn that trickle into what Ezekiel envisions, a river lined with trees bearing fruit for food and healing.